If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL podcast. Albert's here. I'm Connor Rourke. The draft is not that far away. We're recording this. This is Tuesday morning. And so we're going to go through some burning questions here. It's going to be a quick pod because I'll be honest, so much is going to change over the next 48 hours. But we're going to try to stick to some stuff that we know to be true at this moment in time, or at least we think is going to be true, or stuff that can't change. My mock draft is going live today. It's the big Connor Rourke mock draft.
I think I saw the John Plume email come through, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Now,
The
Orr mock draft. And I used to take it very seriously, and then it was the Trey Lance year where I had Trey Lance to the 49ers at 3, and then I was going over my notes, and I kept going back to someone who said, you know, something about Kyle Shanahan and the way that he evaluates quarterbacks, and I was like, I can't do it. And so I had it. I had Trey Lance, and I think I had Mac Jones to the Broncos, maybe at like 8 or whatever, when they picked Pat Surtain. So I wasn't perfect, but I called editor Mitch Goldich at midnight the night before the draft, and I was like, you have to put Mac at 3 and knock Trey Lance down. And so from that point on, I kind of changed my perspective on it, because I was talking to someone who is really deep into the scouting process with everything, and he said, you know what I hate about you guys in the media? And I said, oh, please, go on. And he said, you guys
everything.
All... Yeah. But he's like, you know, you guys all, you know, there's such little true information, and scouts are going through all this stuff, and like, and then like the owners screw up the draft and they mess everything up. And like, right, there's so little that actually now trickles down to us. That's not how it used to be. Like, you know, whatever, teams didn't really care. You know, they would take a picture and send the draft board to a reporter and it doesn't really matter. Now it's big business. This is all part of it. And so we are more along for the roller coaster ride. And so, and that's not to say, like, you know, you and I are both, I mean, we're talking to GMs, we're talking to players, we're talking to scouts, we're talking to their families, all that kind of stuff. But I stopped like being so hard on myself because there's just no way to do a good one now. There's no way to do a good one.
So yeah, like, just so people like have an idea of our process too. Like, a lot of people say to me, like, well, why would anybody tell you exactly what they're doing? That's not the way this works. Like,
no.
What you're trying to pick up when you're making calls around, and I have been on the phone. You probably hear my voice is like a disaster right now. But I've been on the phone pretty consistently for the last couple of weeks talking to different people about what's going to happen. Is you hear what teams think other teams are going to do.
Right.
And then you just try to match it up as many times as you possibly can. And then what's frustrating about it is, like, you can go and get, like, it's like four or five teams saying, like, this is what they're going to do. And then you can talk to the actual team. And what I'll usually do with the actual team is I'll say, like, listen, I know you're not going to tell me anything, but here's what I'm hearing on you. And, like, I have gotten to the point sometimes where they blurt out, like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like, so it's like, God damn it. So, like, now I can't listen to these last people, this person and this person and this person anymore. So I've learned to have fun with it. I think it's a really great way to learn about the class is to kind of gossip like a middle school kid.
Yeah.
And, like, you kind of get a feel for how everybody thinks of guys. Like, one thing that I'm going to have in my notes column this morning is that, you know, like, over these conversations and trading information on who's going to go where and all of that, I had Joe Alt compared to Joe Thomas by multiple people. I'm like, oh, like, that's pretty good, you know? Like, so things like that'll pop up over the course of your conversations. And, you know, a lot of times that'll come from teams that aren't drafting that high. You know, you'll hear from somebody who's in the 20s, like, you know, Marvin Harrison's the best receiver prospect I've seen since X, or Joe Alt's the best left tackle prospect I've seen since Y. And you can file stuff like that away, and it's really valuable, you know? So I really love the process of it. One other pet peeve, and this is, like, carried over from Peter. I hope I'm not becoming Peter. And in some ways, I'd love to be Peter. In other ways, maybe not as much.
Right.
But you know, like, one thing that I've sort of carried over from Peter is, like, I hear something and I put it in a column and then it affects, like, 20 people's mock drafts. And that can be frustrating because it's like, then, you know, people are scoring these things after.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but that person was just reading, like, you know, a half dozen of us and the way that we line things up. And so, like, you're giving them credit for, like, aggregating, like, a bunch of us, because otherwise they wouldn't have had that player there, you know? Well,
the mock draft, the mock draft industry has gotten pretty fascinating. Like, I kind of got in the weeds with it the other day, where there was a data engineer that, and this is actually pretty interesting. I mean, there are some guys, right, who, like you said, there are, like, mock draft experts in air quotes, and I'm not bemoaning this. It is what it is. It's all part of the, like, we're all part
of this big machine.
Yeah. We're in the big machine. Yeah. And there are mock draft experts who will match reporters and national people to teams that they most frequently get right. And then extrapolate that out over the course of, like,
I wonder who I most,
like,
frequently get right. That'd be interesting to
but we have it great. Like, you should, like, every year, like, I get a grade on mine. There's, like, a third party, or there's, like, a person that goes in and grades them all for accuracy. But, like, thousands of them. And I don't know, God bless them if they have the free time to do that. But there was another one where there was a data engineer that I saw this year who made a database of every single prospect visit and then did it historically and extrapolated out how often GMs meet with their first round pick, and then did,
which,
like,
teams are maybe even consistent in doing it too.
Consistent,
right?
In doing it. And there are GMs who do it, like, 90% of the time. And then I think there was one that never had his first round pick in. Yeah. And so it is interesting. Like, there are a lot of tools now, for people who want to be good at this that have nothing to do with, like, actually understanding, like, or calling people. But I just like talking to people. Like you said, it's a good way to learn.
It's a good way. I also think it's, like, a good way, like, and this is, like, little inside journalism, but it's a good way to be able to give back to people that help you out. You know what I mean? Like, it's a good way, like, hey, like, I've got something to offer you now. Like, I like that part of it too.
For sure.
And, like, I will say, like, I grew up a big devourer of mock drafts. Like, for me, it was, I still remember, and, you know, this dates me a little bit, but going back to when the draft was on Saturday, like the Saturday morning Boston Globe, Will McDonough's final mock draft, how much I looked forward to that. And just a funny side note, I don't want to out who told me this story, but you know, someone that we both know told me this story about a coach that, and this was like from the 80s, I think, this coach who on the Saturday morning of the draft had someone in Boston who would go pick up the Boston Globe. Now, this is before the internet, of course, right? Would go pick up the Boston Globe from the Saturday morning, the morning of the draft, and call him and read Will McDonough's mock draft to him.
That is so funny.
Yeah, so, because Willie was so connected, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And like, inevitably, I'm sure there was some like coach in like Chicago who thought, well, you know, like, the teams that be in front of us and the teams behind us are never going to see this, so screw it. I'll just give Will the pick, you know. And it's a hard thing for people to think about now because the internet makes made everything so ubiquitous. But back then, like, you couldn't get the Boston Globe in like, you know, Dallas. You couldn't get the New York Times. Well, maybe the Times you could, but like, you couldn't get the Philadelphia Inquirer in Denver, you know. So it's just changed so much that way. It's part of why teams are more secretive than they used to be.
All right, we're going to fire five questions here. And, so the first one I'm going to ask, well, I'll answer it first and then I'm going to ask you, I want to know what the most surprising thing in your mock draft is. And I also want your reaction to, I have a couple, I would
why
say
you give me yours. I got to pull mine up, but like mine is still a work in progress, but go ahead. Why don't you,
my most surprising thing is that the Chargers trade down twice, and the second time is to allow the Denver Broncos to come up to 10 to select Bo Nix ahead of the New England Patriots because it's symbolic. Sean Payton is
ahead of the New England Patriots,
who were all over Bo Nix's pro day.
Okay, right. But like, so
the Patriots are down from Minnesota at three. Sorry about that. Yeah. So
the Broncos jump from 12 to 10 to get Nix.
Yes. Ahead of the Patriots at 11.
So the Jets then screw the Patriots out of getting Bo Nix. I like that.
But, well, the Jets are long gone. The Jets have traded up to 5 to get Roma Dunze.
That would have been more fun if it was the Jets still at 10.
So Jets
Holy
trade
crap,
up to 5.
How many trades do you have?
4? I have the Vikings trading up with the Patriots at 3 to get Drake May. I have the Jets trading up to 5 to get Roma Dunze.
Okay.
And then I have, I have the Colts. Okay. I have the Colts trading up to 9 to get Brock Bowers. So that's
like
3.
That. You know, there's a Dallas Clark comp on him. So I really like that.
Ooh. And then the Broncos and Chargers trade is 4. And then, the last one I have is not until, so I have 5 trades. The last one I have is at the back end of the first. And I have the Chiefs coming up to leapfrog the Bills for Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas. And okay, I do have another one. And then the Cardinals coming back into the first round at 32, Albert, to get Michael Penix.
The Cardinals?
They're going to do a Jordan Love thing. What do you think about that?
Huh. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
You like that?
Wow, you really got loose with your mock draft here.
I let it fly.
All right, so I don't have surprises like that. I would say, would you be surprised to hear 7 offensive tackles in the first 22 picks?
Let me see how many I have, because I have a lot.
I have 7 in the first 22.
Do you know who?
As a result, I don't have Brian Thomas, the receiver from LSU.
In the first round?
And the fourth receiver to go until 28 to Buffalo.
That's where I have him, too. Whoa!
Oh,
how about
there
that?
You go. Woo! There you go. That's like, now we really got to root for that one to hit.
Okay,
everybody's going to think Brandon Bean's leaking stuff to us.
I'm starting at 25. I have Tyler Guyton. I have to the Packers.
So Guyton was my last one to the Eagles at 22.
Same. I have Amarius Mims at 20 to the Steelers. I have Fuaga to the Bengals at 18.
Where do you have Fatanu?
I have Fatanu at... Okay, so I have him at 26.
Okay, so it'd be 26. Okay.
And
I'm assuming you have. You said Fashanu, right? Like, so you have Latham and Ault too in there.
Latham and Ault, and then I have a surprise one, Albert. I have one more than you.
The Arizona one.
14, Jared Morgan. I love
Whoa,
him.
Whoa, Jordan Morgan, 14. Wow. I have the 31 to the Niners, so I do have eight in the first round. So wait, not a lot of people like him. You have eight in the top 26 then.
Yeah, not a lot of people like him in the first round. I love him. I heard I had a coach that I really trust say that if you can coach, there's like a couple little things with that guy that if you cleaned up, like he could be one of the best prospects in the draft.
Okay, you want me to run you through mine then?
Yes.
Like, so I have Ault fifth to the Chargers. I have Latham seventh to the Titans.
Okay.
I have Fashanu 10th to the Jets. I have Fuaga 14th to the Saints. I have Fatanu 18th to the Bengals. I have Mims 21st to the Dolphins. And I have Guyton 22nd to the Eagles. So I have seven in the top 22.
Nice.
Which causes the receiver to fall out. What else would be surprising? I mean, Penix to the Raiders isn't surprising anymore.
I heard we'll save that. We'll do a quarterback.
I have the Vikings going up for McCarthy, which I might change that. Like, I might change where they go up. I'm just like looking at this, like, and I sort of think Arizona might stay and just take Harrison. So one thing I'm kicking around is having the Giants. If I give Harrison to the Cardinals at four, I would probably then have the Giants taking Roma Dunze over Malik Neighbors.
I think
would surprise some people, but Malik Neighbors is a little too on the nose for them. I think pain in the ass LSU receiver, kind of like high maintenance LSU receiver. He's not a bad guy, but like, I do wonder if they would get some Odell vibes there. And Adunze is like as clean as they come from a character standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. I think I kind of teased it a little bit. I said in my mock that I would not be shocked if Neighbors, air quotes, falls a little bit. Let's do quarterbacks. I want to know where you've got them, how many you've got, and give me the order for your quarterbacks.
Okay, so five in the first round. I have Knicks falling out. I have Caleb to the Bears, Jaden to the Commanders. I think that those two will be chalk. They have the Patriots taking Drake May. Again, that's relative chalk. I have the Vikings trading up for J.J. McCarthy. I have Michael Penix going to the Raiders at 13. I could see Knicks. So a couple Knicks teams. I think the Broncos, everybody's talked about that, right? Like, so the Broncos could be a Knicks team. My curveball Knicks team would be the Rams.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Stafford, 36. I've heard that they like him. I know, you know, Sean, like, believes that he can work with different types of quarterbacks. Here's the other thing that's sort of interesting. Did you know that Les Snead, the general manager of the Rams, his college quarterback was Patrick Nix?
Yeah.
At Auburn.
Yeah.
So sort of an interesting tie-in there, too.
Ooh. All right. All right, so this one, again, like my mock, we got a little hog wild here, but I have Caleb going one. I have Jaden going two. Jaden was interesting because in my last minute calls, I had someone who I really trust say, why the hell wasn't this kid talked about as the number one pick?
Right.
Yeah. And I do think that, you know, and there
even
can be
people,
guys.
Even people who think Caleb is like this, like, otherworldly talent have told me, like, yeah, Jaden's tape was better this year than Caleb's was, you know? Yeah.
Then I have the Vikings coming up to three to get Drake May.
They love Drake, so I could see that. I just don't think New England's going to move off that. But, yeah, like they would do it, I think, yes.
And then I have – so I had heard first half of the first round for Penix.
You hear Raiders, you hear Seattle. He's really helped himself too.
But I think what's interesting about Bo is that, like, I think it's going to be different. Like, Penix, you don't have to play him Like, right. maybe you draft him with the idea that you sit him for a year. Like, Bo's 24. Like, he's married. He's, like, he's an adult. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he set the NCAA record for completion percentage last year at Oregon. You know, he's going to be able to come in and at least run an offense. Like, I think he had to run five offenses throughout his NCAA career, you know?
Yeah, and you know what was cool about him, too, was, I you know, and people who read my stuff might know that, like, every summer I do a preview of the quarterbacks, right? So I get with Jordan Palmer and Trent Dilfer, who've seen these guys since they were in high school, because they all go through the Elite 11 program. Most of them do anyway. And, you know, like, one of the scouts that I talked to, on top of talking to those two, said to me, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because he had this offensive coordinator, Oregon, last year, who was seen as, like, this boy wonder, right? Kenny right. Dillingham, mm-hmm. who went to Arizona State. So this guy said to me, he's like, I'll become a Bo Nix believer if the production holds up after losing that coordinator. And it did, you know, like, it did. His completion percentage was off the charts. I've had someone tell me, like, his analytics, like, so, you know, kind of keep an eye on this if, you know, you root for an analytics heavy team. I've heard his analytics, like, his on-field analytics, his off-field analytics are really, really good.
Yeah.
Another interesting fact that I came across the last couple of days and doing an unnecessary large amount of research is his wife has, like, maybe the coolest name in the draft of anybody connected to the draft. His wife's name, a former Auburn cheerleader named Izzy Smoke.
Wow.
How about that? That's Izzy Nix now. I think it's Izzy Nix now, but Izzy Smoke.
Can't imagine that the folks at Barstool had any fun with that. yeah. But all right. See, I think six. I do. It's always hard, right? Because you're trying to be wary of the information, and the Penix first half of the first round thing, you know, it has kind of come on late, and I'm not the only one. You know, I've seen it written a couple places, and so you always wonder, like, okay, is this someone, you know, are we hearing it from, you know, someone who wants him to go higher, doesn't think he's going to go there?
Yeah.
Not, I don't know the answer to that. I do know that he's a great kid, so we can say it today, right? We have up on SI.com. I'd encourage you guys to check it out. We're doing our draft preview cover digitally this year, but we shot and spent time with Nix, with Michael Penix, and with Jaden Daniels. And they're all phenomenal. I mean, it really, really impressive. I mean,
you
group
got to
kids.
Spend time with them. Like, yeah. I have heard that. Like, that the one thing you don't have, like, these guys, even like Jaden's got a lot going on. There's, like, a lot around him, right? Like,
yeah,
even like Caleb, there's a lot around him. But, like, I've heard that they're all, like, really good kids. Like, every last one of them. Even like Caleb, like, for all the noise around him, like, I don't know. Like, I know, you know. You know, I've talked to Cliff Kingsbury about it. Like, Cliff, like, would tell you, like, the coaches love him, his teammates love him. Like, he was a very popular person in that building. So a lot of the superstar stuff is on the outside, not on the inside, you know?
Yeah. I think that you can't. The other thing, too, that's what I wanted to bring up, was that we don't know. Like, next year we're talking about, what, like, Shedeur Sanders? Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Quinn Ewers, Shedeur Sanders, who else? Oh, Carson Beck at Georgia.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
but we don't know. Like, whereas I feel like this class, we knew right now that next year was going to be something special.
We knew
whereas,
it. Yep.
And then we ended up getting some pleasant surprises there.
Right. Well, that's before Will Howard wins a national championship at Ohio State.
That's true. Yeah.
There you go.
you have JJ, so
I have JJ fourth. I have him going fourth overall. I'm still toying with that, so everybody listening, don't kill me if this changes. I might move him down to fifth. I actually think, like, there's a scenario where he could slide all the way to 11 now. The more I've kind of, like, dug into it, I just don't know if you're the Vikings if you could take that risk. You know, if you really like him, you go get him.
He just came on so late for me. And so I, you know, he came on so late for me. And at that point, when stuff like that happens, I tend to just lean on, and I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about just, you know, I'm not trying to bemoan anybody, right? But when someone comes on super late, I tend to lean on people who are just experts at the position, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, you know, I feel like if I had them ranked, you know, I think McCarthy would fall behind Nix for me. And so what I try to do in the mock at that point is what I try to do in the mock at that point is you have a little fun with it. You see where it fits. You slide them. And so I have the Raiders and Tom Brady stopping the slide for McCarthy, helping out the Michigan guy. And
I wouldn't that wouldn't stun me. Like, I think I've heard the Raiders are a little more involved in the quarterbacks than people think. Now I have them taking Penix at 13. They've obviously been connected to Jaden. I don't think there's any way they're going to be able to go up and get him. JJ wouldn't stun me for them. Like, I thought, here's the other thing that I thought was interesting. You know, I had asked around about Jim Harbaugh and the way he's talked about JJ, right? And, you know, a few people who know Jim said to me, like, I was like, so why is he doing, like, why is he so over the top? I can understand saying nice things, but everything that, like, you've listened to it, right? Like, what Jim said about JJ.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like, yeah, he's a great player. It's like, he's the best ever. You know what I mean? Like, everything. He's comparing him to Mahomes at one point. And so I asked a couple people, like, why is Jim doing that? Guys who know him, right? And somebody who knows him pretty well said to me, Jim views his quarterbacks as his, like, almost like his sons, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how he views them. And how interesting is it that he could be dictating his landing spot? Like, if JJ gets passed, say Arizona sticks at 4 and takes Marvin, now the Chargers are sitting there and the Chargers start getting calls on JJ, like, Jim Harbaugh could literally determine where this guy who he loves the guy, right? Where he goes.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're Jim, who would you give him to? If you were worried about his own well-being. I'll tell you who you give him to. You give him to the Vikings, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So sort of an interesting thing I think to pay attention to there.
Yeah. The other thing I want to know, I want to talk about the class a little bit broadly here. And so I think what's interesting about this year's draft class is I pulled a few GMs and it's like, okay, where's the cutoff here? And I heard as high as 110. There's quality players up to 110.
Yeah.
I recently heard as low as 80. Like, so that's like the seventh pick of the third round.
I would say just like kind of along those lines, what I've heard pretty consistently is it falls off like a cliff.
Right.
Early on day three, like teams are going to be like taking guys who, I mean, say like 140th overall, they're going to be taking guys who maybe they view as college free agents.
Right. Yeah. And at that point, I think I'm curious what you're hearing on this too, but I think at that point, I think it's going to be really, really cool because what we're going to have day two is going to be bonkers because you're going to have a lot of teams either try to get up there to get quality or to just parachute out of there and try to get picks for next year. But the thing is, everybody knows this, right? Yeah. Everyone knows that the class is bad. But I think that the only thing, at least from my understanding, the only position group that seems to hold true through a lot of the draft is wide receiver. A lot of people like wide receiver this year.
Yeah, and I guess there's good interior linemen. That's a pretty deep position too. But that's why I think, like, you know, we talked about the tackles, right? I think the tackles could wind up driving some movement in the back half of the first round, you know, because there's 7 or 8, I think, and then there's a drop-off. And so, like, I think you could have teams kind of trying to get up into maybe the late teens, early 20s to try and get one of the last couple of tackles to come off. So I think you could see some movement there. And you're right. Like, I think once we get into the end of round 3, the beginning of round 4, it's like, are those picks going to have any value? And it could affect trades in the second and third rounds too, because those picks, the 4th and 5th and 6th round picks, are typically used for teams to move up, right? But what if those picks don't have any value this year? Because teams are looking at it and saying, no, the guy I'm going to get in the 5th round is equal to an undrafted free agent, so I'm just going to stand pat, right?
Right.
It could have an interesting effect. And I think what's most fascinating about it is, like, this is like really the effect of NIL and the transfer portal, you know, is that like more guys have more reasons to stay in schools because they can jump schools if they don't like their situation, because they can make money while they're in school. That number this year, I believe, was 58, right? So 3 years ago in 2021, and this was right before NIL went in, they had there was a record set. It was 130 underclassmen declared. We have less than half of that this year. Wow. You know, isn't that crazy? So it went from 130 this year. It's 58. I think it's a positive change on balance. Like, there are some negatives to obviously all of this, but I think it's a positive change because it gives the kids in college another option. You know, like, the kid who really needs the money maybe isn't going to like now has an option to stay in school and get his degree and not be like a seventh round pick who might get cut in August, you know?
Right.
I think that's the real effect. So it's a good thing from that perspective, but it does hurt the end of the draft.
Who are you? Let's do it both ways. Who yep. are you high on that a lot of people aren't this year? Who's your guy? Like, I feel like every year I got a guy.
Yeah. My guy.
Who's your guy?
I'm looking at the list here.
And it could even be like a guy. Okay, everyone know. Like, you don't have to be like, you don't have to pull me out like a fullback from Rice. Like, I'm talking about like.
Yeah. All right. Know. So, like, among the first rounders, the guy who I think, like, I feel like, and this is maybe like a storyline thing, you know, but the guy that I think like might be even better than people think is Terrion Arnold, just because he played at Alabama, but he's sort of an underdog story as it is. He's a kid who stuck there and redshirted a year when a lot of guys who are recruited by a school like Alabama wouldn't. And like, he's another one of these guys, like Brian Branch was this way last year, or Saban like talks really highly of him. And I always have those on my radar, right? Like, there are certain guys where you hear Xavier McKinney was sort of the same way. And there are a lot of defensive backs because Saban works with them. But Terrion Arnold would be one who I think like still could be there in the late teens. Where is he going to be better than that? I think he might wind up being better than that. You know, and then I'm just kind of like looking here.
I'm a fan, by the way. I have him going eight to the Falcons.
So here's one. I have a hard time not seeing a scenario where Mike Sander still plays a decade in the NFL. I don't think I have a hard time where he doesn't play a decade in the NFL.
Okay, I was gonna say.
No. Sorry. Now that sounds like a Michigan bashing when I'm actually building a Michigan player up. Mike Sander still, I think. He started his career as a receiver. This is another storyline thing, but like, as important as that nickel position has become in the NFL, would you spend a first round pick on him when he's got some position flex? He can play safety. He can maybe contribute on special teams. Like, he's played receiver before. Like, he's just one of these old school players that I think, regardless of where you project him, he's going to find a home in the NFL, and he's going to play 10 years in the NFL. And if you can get a guy like that at the end of the first round or the beginning of the second, you take him. And I think this guy might still be there in the 50s and 60s, maybe even into the third round. So he's one that I look at as a guy who I watched a lot, who I think is going to be a really good player. And Max Melton from Rutgers would be another one who I was really impressed when I watched how he covered Marvin Harrison Jr. Just because I, you know, obviously watched those games. He's another corner who I think could wind up being like a really good long-term player in the league, who's, you know, going to go well outside the first round. You know, one last one that I would add, Connor, just because I'm kind of interested to see what happens with him, is Braylon Allen. I'm a big believer in how important you are to your team. And Wisconsin built offenses around Braylon Allen. He is a monster. I think he's like 240, 250. And he was 17 years old. He rushed for almost 2,000 yards as a 17-year-old. He reclassified. And this wasn't one of these like Texas red shirts and then he reverses back, right? Like, he actually graduated high school a year early. And so, like, a guy like that who's coming into the league so young and he's got like these physical traits and he's had to carry an offense before. Like, I don't know, man. Like, could the Ravens put like Braylon Allen behind Derrick Henry and now have like just a supersized like crew of running backs? I think that would be a really interesting fit.
Look out. My favorite, and I'll we'll close with this. It's all it's I'll do it as sort of a soft tribute to my good friend Chris Wessling, who I know we have a lot of crossover podcast listeners from around the NFL. Wes always had what he called his stable of boys, his favorite players. And I think about that whenever, because you watch all the film and you talk to people and you just get excited about everybody. And then I end up putting people way too high in the draft just because I really like them. And so the first one, I mean, I mentioned before, Jordan Morgan, the tackle out of Arizona, 6'5", 325. Yep. I think he could be special. I think, and you could play him maybe at two different positions next year. That's why I didn't go into the Saints. They need help all over the place. Yep. You know, they can slot him into two different places. I really like Ennis Rakestraw, the cornerback from Missouri.
Ooh, all right.
And I have him. He looks to me like the consummate Raven, like just like the quintessential Raven. Where,
so we're doing Eric DaCosta's job for him here, huh?
Yeah, Eric, if you're listening, you know, just, you know, I did the evals. You can check. I had it cross checked and everything like that. You're gonna push that secondary into another level. And I think that that's gonna be really special. And then the only other thing, I mean, it doesn't really fit. He's not really my guy, but
yeah,
I have Cooper DeJean going to the Eagles just because, like, wouldn't that be like he'd be an absolute folk hero there? Like, so, the Eagles drafting the white cornerback. Like, don't you think that would be absolutely ridiculous?
I had fun. So, like, good buddy of mine who I was actually at Ohio State with him. Dustin Fox is his name. And I'm sure you know Dustin. Dustin,
he's a radio host.
Yeah. Cleveland. Yeah. So Dustin was a starting corner at Ohio State when I was there. He was still like maybe the third or fourth corner when I was there, and then became a star, wound up being a captain from this huge football family. His uncle, Tim, was like a legendary player for the Patriots back in the day. His brother played at Penn State. Derek Fox was his brother's name. So Dustin, Dustin is like the last like white corner, you know, before the last couple of Iowa kids. And Dustin always took such huge offense to being projected to safety. And so, like, when he went high school to college, college to pros, they always projected him as a safety. And so I've been meaning to, and I'm going to now, send him a text, and maybe we can get the answer on the next podcast. Ask him how he feels about teams that are projecting Cooper DeJean to safety.
The good news is if you put him in Philly, he doesn't really need, it doesn't really matter, right? You're going to play a lot of, you're going to play a lot of zone. He could be anywhere. Yep. And I just think
you're saying white guys can't play man?
I'll
take that up with Dustin too. I swear to God though, he still gets pissed when people refer to him as a safety, he still gets pissed about it.
That's great. Amazing. All right, plenty of stuff to get to. Albert and I will be around on Monday to wrap up the draft. It's going to be a lot of fun.
By the way, everybody's welcome for that Jason Sehorn tribute at the end, too, that we conducted.
Yes. Jason, we miss you. Come back. Have fun. We'll wrap up the show. We'll wrap up the draft on Monday. And listen, SI.com is going to be just buck wild for the next few days. So be
jam-packed.
There. We're going to be writing every day. My mock draft today, Albert's mock draft tomorrow. I have draft notes going up today. I'm sure Albert's going to have draft notes going up the next 2 days. So be there. Be square. Thank you guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.